This podcast has been produced by Helene Graham for A-level geography students at Strathearn School. It deals with the decision-making exercise which forms Section B of Paper 2 of the SEA A-level geography specification. It uses the decision-making exercise on a specimen paper that was produced for this specification as an example. The podcast should be used in association with the written decision-making exercise guidance produced for this course. Paper 2 is 2.5 hours long. Section A, Physical Geography, should take 1 hour to complete and should always be done first. Section B, the decision-making exercise, is allocated 1.5 hours. 30 minutes of this must be used for planning, 1 hour for writing. And writing includes both formatting the report and drawing the required illustration. An approximate guide to time management for the written section is marks equal minutes. It is very important that students discipline themselves strictly to time allocations. Before going into the exam, pupils should know at what time they should be starting the decision-making exercise and when they should start writing the report. During the planning time, they should work out an approximate time framework for each section and subsection of the report and write it down. Remember to leave a good 15 minutes for the last section, the decision. Let's imagine now that we are sitting in the exam and we're about to plan the decision-making exercise. Cast your eye over the paper and to get the overview. You will notice it has to do with the Corrib natural gas field, the exploitation of gas there and the bringing of it onshore by the Shell company to the west coast of County Mayo. So it's set in Ireland, in northwest Ireland. You will see too that this is not the first time that this proposal has been brought to the attention of the planning board. This in fact is a revised plan, and you have to take on the role, which is another very important aspect to consider, of a planner for this planning board. And to consider whether the Corrib natural gas project should be permitted to proceed or not. Remember, there is no right or wrong answer. We are looking for your ability to put forward arguments and justify your arguments. One of the best ways to help you with planning is to look first of all at the guidance that is given to you on the marks that are allocated to each section. You'll see there at the top of page 66, there are a set of marks for format, role and graph. These are really easy marks to get, and it's very important that you do them accurately and you do yourself justice in them. First of all, the format. You need to divide your report clearly up into subsections with headings and subheadings as required. Now, there are three sections. They're laid out very clearly for you, A, B and C, with section B having two subsections, 1 and 2. Please make sure that your headings stand out very clearly when you're writing the report. But for your planning, it would be useful to take a separate piece of paper for each of the headings and the subheadings within section B. As long as you have each of those clearly visible in your report, you should get your 2 marks that are allocated for this particular part of the decision-making exercise. Second, you will notice the role. Now, we've already established that you're a planner for the planning board. In order to get your 2 marks, you have to adopt and maintain a stated role. That means you must mention your role in 2 places. First, at the very beginning of the report, so even before you start your introduction. And all that requires is 1 or 2 sentences, such as a planner for the planning board, I have been asked to consider the revised plan for the exploitation, treatment and transportation of natural gas from the Corrib natural gas field to County Mayo and beyond, and make a decision as to whether this project should be permitted to proceed. Below, find my report and recommendations. The second mark for maintaining the role to the end is achieved by reminding the readers at the beginning of Section C as to your role. So, for example, as planner for the planning board, I have now considered the many alternative viewpoints on the project and have decided to either allow it to proceed or refuse permission to proceed. The third aspect of the little subsection at the top of page 66 is the graph. Now this is worth 8 marks, and as part of the planning process you must consider what kind of a graph you have to draw. It asks you to draw a graph using all the data from Table A, Resource B, and incorporate it into the report at an appropriate place. So first of all you have to establish the correct table. Table A has to do with, if you look at it, the changing fuel use in the Republic of Ireland over the period 1990 to 2005. So you have to draw a graph which will incorporate all of that, and then also incorporate it into the report at an appropriate place. All that really means is decide where you're going to put it, and we'll talk about that later, and then mention it at that point and refer to it in the text. And that is all that incorporate it means. When it comes to deciding which graph you're going to use, please use the planning time to do this. Do not leave it until you're ready to write the report, because otherwise you may panic, you may run out of time, and you may think it's not worth including. I can assure you the 8 marks that are allocated for the graph are much easier to get than 8 marks in text. So if we look at Table A, think in terms of what it's showing. First of all, it shows change over time. There are 3 dates, so it counts as continuous data, so a line graph is possible. Equally, there are different categories of information, fuel and percentage used, and so there is also the possibility of using a bar graph. All of those, both a line graph and possibly 2 types of bar graph, are acceptable, but some are easier to draw than others. If you were considering a bar graph, you could do a subdivided bar graph for each date. So for each of the dates, have one bar representing 100% and then subdivide it according to the fuel category. Or for each date, you could put 5 small bars side by side representing the percentage use. However, I would recommend the compound line graph. This is where you have the use, you use different colours to represent each fuel type. Along the bottom axis you would have time, and up the side you would have, up the vertical axis you would have percentage figures. Your time line along the bottom would not be quite evenly spaced. You'd have your 3 dates slightly unevenly. So 1990 right at the left hand side, which is the equivalent of the naught value, and then 2002 and 2005 spaced further along the bar and closer together. Please could I mention at this point that accuracy is important. You don't need to use graph paper, you will not be issued with graph paper, but you would need to use things like the lines on the paper and have a fairly accurate scale. They will check every single point that you have plotted on your line graph. And we will come back to what you gain the marks on the graph at a later point. So your graph is an important point, an important part of the decision-making paper that you must plan during your planning stage. Once you have considered format, role and graph, move on to the actual report itself and the guidance that they give you, and check that you absolutely understand what each of the sections requires. All of the sections and all of the subsections have 2 parts to them. If you look at the introduction, it asks you on the one hand to briefly describe the proposed development, and secondly to explain its potential importance to the Republic of Ireland. The introduction is one area where people go very, very badly wrong. Sometimes they overwrite, spend too long on it. Sometimes they ignore one aspect and just look at the other aspect. So briefly describe the proposed development means give some facts and figures. Where is it? Where is it set? What does it involve? Mention something about the exact location, so for example where the terminal is being set up. And do not go into any other detail. You only have probably about a paragraph to write about that, so keep it brief. The second side, which asks to explain its potential to the importance to the Republic of Ireland, should immediately alert you to the fact that it is at the national scale, so it refers to Ireland as a whole. In the decision-making paper, you will normally be asked to discuss things at three potential scales. International, where you look at impact on other countries or the impact of other countries on the scheme. National, where it's regarding the country itself. And then local, which looks at the area where the project is taking place and the immediate area around it. So in the case of the introduction, it's the national scale. And therefore, you should not be discussing its potential importance to Mayo, to the area immediately around where the scheme is taking place, but to the Republic of Ireland as a whole. You must get the balance between both sections in order to be able to get level 3. It is not a case of 4 marks for the proposed development and 4 marks for the importance. You will have the mark scheme given out to you so you can see from the mark scheme it's the balance that you need to do justice to both parts and use the information that's there. Section B, the likely impact of the Carb Natural Gas project on, first of all, the local environment. Again, you notice there's the word local being used. This should pinpoint the fact that you are only interested in the immediate area around where the terminal, where the pipeline is going to be constructed. And you're asked to discuss the possible negative impact on the environment and then the responses of those in favour of the development. What you will have realised is in Section B from other decision-making papers is that they normally ask you to give the pros and cons of the scheme. They use different phrases to do that, but in this case it's very clear it's the negative impact on the environment. The other side of the argument is in the second half of the question, which asks you for the responses of those in favour of the development. So these are the counter arguments to the negative impact on the environment. So think of those other, what has the organisation, the company, in this case Shell, done to try and diminish the negative impact on the environment? Because it will have a negative impact on the environment. All the case studies that you're going to look at are going to involve, on the one hand, an environmental impact, and on the other hand, an economic impact. And normally, the conflict that you're going to be looking at is the discussion between the environmentalists and the economists. So in subsection B1, negative impact on the environment, and then the responses of those in favour. So what have they done to minimise the damage? In part 2, it's the impact, the likely impact on the local economy. Again, just the immediate area around in Mayo, County Mayo is the important thing here. Here the guidance is very clear. It just asks you to look at how the proposed development would affect the local economy, both positively and negatively. So very clearly, positive impacts, negative impacts. Very straightforward indeed. Both subsections carry 10 marks. So you might want to think to yourself, how many points do I have to make in order to gain 10 marks in each case? The absolute minimum that you would need to put down in subsection B1 is 2 negative impacts on the environment and 2 responses from the opposition. Same for the local economy, 2 positive impacts, 2 negative impacts. Depending on how long you write, you may, and your time management, you may be able to put in 3 points in maybe one of those subsections. But I would suggest that you minimise your time that you spend on section B. Keep to your strict 20 minutes that you have to write it, and make sure that you just have got the balance again and have done justice to both sections of each part of the question. Finally, the decision, where it says again you have 2 clear-cut aspects. You have to state clearly your decision, and then you have to justify it on the basis of greater overall benefits. Stating clearly your decision is something you should do immediately you start section C, but at the planning stage, just decide quite quickly which angle you're going to take. Remember there's no right or wrong answer. Decide whether you're going to be for the project or against the project. This you may not be able to do until you've read a little bit more about the project, and particularly gone through the resource booklet and looked at the resources. But before you get to the end of the planning, make sure you've made your decision. That will also then guide you on how to justify it on the basis of greater overall benefits. This is one of the trickiest parts of the answer. And it involves you looking at both sides of the argument. So you cannot just say why you would either agree with the project or disagree. You have to consider the opposition's arguments. So justify it on the basis of greatest overall benefits means. State why you think it should go ahead. Then consider what the opposition would say against this. And then in turn, have your counter arguments for that. So there are almost three different aspects to justifying it on the basis of the greatest overall benefits. This is why you need to leave yourself probably in the region of 15 minutes to answer this. This is the difficult part. One last point about working out how many points you have to make. In the introduction, there are 8 marks for the introduction. This is less clear-cut. For the potential importance, you should be able to find 2 points on its behalf. As far as the proposed development is concerned, just make sure you have the key points. I think there will be probably in the region of 3 or 4 points that you will need to make, but maybe only a brief sentence on each. We'll find out more about that when we start to look through the actual resource booklet. Let us now consider each of the resources in turn, which is something that you should now be doing in detail. And with your piece of paper in front of you, jot down, either on the pieces of paper, or you can just do it straight onto the resource booklet. Work out which parts of which resource are required to answer each section or subsection. So first of all, Resource A. Resource A is the Ordnance Survey Map. Now, it is often very underutilized. It's very useful for pinpointing specific places in an area, getting the feel of the lie of the land, and appreciating maybe things that are not written about or have been photographed, namely what the relief is like, possibly where the large lakes are in this case, where the forested areas are, and it might give you insight into the impact that the building of the gas terminal or the pipelines would have on this rather remote part of the Republic of Ireland. It could indicate which areas might be polluted as a result of the terminal, the waste material being deposited, or the pipelines being constructed across the landscape. Resource B, which is the background to the report, will be your major source of information for the introduction. This gives information on the various proposals, what it's going to mean in terms of the seabed, the actual gas field, the pipelines, the terminal. Make sure, again, that you quote exact places from this particular resource in order to gain the specific marks that you need in the introduction. It is also useful for the economic importance. The last 3 paragraphs you can use to decide what its economic importance is. But make sure that you only use information that is relevant to the national importance. Table A is part of this information of resource B, and that in a way should give you a clue as to where to include your graph in the report. Personally, I would include it in the introduction when you're discussing the national importance and you're looking at the changing fuel use in the Republic, and trying to gauge what the impact of natural gas and the exploitation of natural gas is to the country as a whole. Table A highlights very clearly the very important role of oil in the fuel use in the Republic. And of course that needs to be imported. And used with graph A that they have shown about the changing sources of natural gas used in Ireland, you will see that increasingly they have become dependent on imported fuel for their resources. So this is why you could argue that exploiting natural gas, Irish natural gas, would reduce this dependence on imported sources of fuel. So a good place to include the graph is in the introduction. I would actually sketch out very roughly during the planning stage what your graph might look like. Not in detail, not accurate, but just to give yourself an idea, so that when it comes to the writing you can refer back to the plan and you can see what you would have done for the graph. Resource C and Resource D are both maps. Again, often underutilized resources. Each of the maps has a scale. And I would encourage you to try and use some information that shows the examiner that you have made use of these maps by measuring possibly the distance of the pipeline, to measure the distance, for example, of the terminal from where the peat is being dumped. Something to show that you have used those resources. One is a much smaller scale map, the Resource C, which shows the pipeline in the context of the Erris region and the northwest part of Ireland. The Resource D shows a closer in view of the terminal area and what it's going to involve in terms of removing peat to build the terminal and where it's going to be deposited. Again, it gives you some very useful place names that you can use when you're writing your report. Resource E involves two photographs, first of all, of the local area. One of a bay and one of the Carrowmore Lake. Both of them should indicate what the nature of the landscape is. So although it may describe it also in the report, your use of the photograph is important. The photographs give the impression that they're very remote areas. You may not think of them as particularly picturesque. And if that is the case, you could use that to your advantage if you're trying to downplay the environmental impact. But equally, it's a very remote and beautiful area, and other people would argue this is its attraction to tourists, its wildness and its lack of anything having been constructed in the area. Resource E3 is the pictorial overview of the Corrib development. So this could be used when you're looking either at the what the scheme will involve, but also on the environmental impact, as can all the photographs be used to look at the environmental impact, either for the argument or against, depending on which way you want to argue. The resource booklet then divides up the remaining text into two very clear sections. Resource F, which are the resources against the proposed development, and then Resource G, the resources in favour of the proposed development. No matter what your decision is, you will need to use both resources. Those against, particularly for the environmental side, and also playing down the economic importance of the project. The Resource G, the resources in favour, are particularly stressing the importance of the economic and the benefits that that will bring, but also will be useful for subsection B1, which is putting the responses to the environmental impact. So thinking what the Shell are doing in order to counter the criticisms from the environmentalists. Resource F can be used for both B2, where you're putting the negative impact, economic impact, and then Resource G can be used for the positive economic impact. A word of warning about Resource G. On page 87 of the resource booklet, in Resource G, the last two paragraphs on page 87 stress the regional or national importance, economic importance. And this you might be able to use that in your introduction, but you could also then come back to this in your decision. So be careful not to include it with your local impacts. It is not local. Equally, the paragraph at the top of page 88 is also not a local aspect. Again, it has to do with the Irish economy and the importance for natural gas to Ireland as a whole. The last two paragraphs on page 88 in Resource G are very useful for answering the environmental criticisms in subsection B1. Finally, you have some quotes from a variety of people in Resource H. You can, of course, put in quotations exactly. Just make sure that you use them appropriately. Quotation 1 and might be used in B2 for the positive side, whereas quotation 2 might be used in B2 for the negative side. Quotation 3 could be used for the introduction, the second part, the potential importance, or in the decision section C. Quotation 4 could be used in either section B1 or B2 to oppose the scheme. As far as the decision is concerned, you might be able to use any of the resources to justify your arguments in the decision. Obviously, if you have decided just to put a couple of points in section B, 1 and 2, or in the introduction, limited your number of points, the decision is the place where you can put other points that you were not able to include in section B or in section A. You can also include some of the points you've already made, but maybe with a slightly different spin on them. So at the end of the planning stage, you should have an idea, having gone through the resources in detail, which resources can be used for each section and subsection of the paper. You will by that stage have probably come to a decision, and I hope you will have come to a decision as to which side of the argument you are going to favour. My advice would be go for the one that you can most easily justify. It may be that you would like to support the environmental one, but in fact you think the economic one might be easier to do. That is absolutely fine, as I remember there is no right or wrong answer. Before you write your report, make sure you have now decided which of the points you're going to include in which section and subsection. More points is not necessarily better, so keep strictly to the time limit and think to yourself, I can only do 2 points here or 3 points here. I will not have time to do as many as I would like. Some other general useful bits of advice before you started to write your report. Keep in mind that the information that you have in the resource booklet could be biased in some way. So don't accept at face value everything that's written there. And this is why whenever you start to write your report, you should use words like, it would seem that, or resource such and such suggests that, or the opposition would claim that, or environmentalists would agree that. Don't state it as fact. You want to show the examiner that you're aware of the bias in the resource material that you've been given. You also have to decide how you're going to formulate your actual arguments. Remember that you will not get level 3 marks if you consistently quote verbatim. Yes, you need to make sure you have the factual material that's down or the information that's down in the resources, but you need to change the wording of it sufficiently to not give the impression that you're just lifting it wholesale from the resource. This is why it is sometimes better to jot down notes on a piece of paper underneath the headings rather than just highlighting stuff on the resource booklet, because the temptation is under time pressure is that you just write out what it says in the paragraph. So just before you write the report, you know what your decision is, you know what your role is, you know where to mention your role, you know what your graph is, you know what your headings and your subheadings are going to be, your format. You also have planned when you're going to change from one section to the next, or one subsection to the next. Please keep to this strictly. If you find yourself running out of time, then round off the sentence, leave yourself a little bit of space if necessary, and move on to the next section. You can always come back to it if you have a few moments at the end. Let's now move on to the report itself, writing the report. First thing that you should do when you open your report is to state your role, according to what I mentioned earlier in the podcast. Keep to 2 or 3 sentences at the most, no long-winded explanation of the role. Your introduction should be approximately 2/3 of a page. Half of that stating briefly what the project involves. In the second half of the introduction, you have time only to write 2, maybe 3 points at the very most. You will see these outlined in the mark scheme for the decision-making paper. At this point too, you will be writing or drawing your graph. Remember, there are 8 marks allocated for the graph, so technically you could have 8 minutes to draw the graph. You probably won't need this if you've already planned it out. To gain the 8 marks in the graph, first of all, you need to refer to it in the introduction, such as see below for graph, or see graph below, see figure such and such below if you've numbered it. You will get 1 mark for that. Another mark, you have to use the appropriate technique, so we've chosen a line graph for that. You actually get 3 marks for the accuracy of the data. So make sure that your scale is not too large so that the examiner can pinpoint weaknesses or inaccuracies more easily, but also not too small, that it is easily visible. Please use colour when drawing the different lines, and then that again makes for ease of reading. You also get 3 marks for putting the key in, so the key to the coloured lines, labelling your axes correctly, so time along the bottom, and percentage fuel use up the side, and the title. The title, you should use exactly the title of Table A. Can I reassure you that if you do happen to use the wrong table of data, you won't lose all marks, but you will lose 3, the accuracy marks, because obviously you haven't drawn the correct information or put the correct information on the graph. I would advise you to spend no more than about 15 to 16 minutes on your introduction, which includes the drawing of the graph. Subsection, or section B, with the 2 subsections, carries 20 marks. Again, approximately 20 minutes, no more, on this particular section. Section B1, subsection B1, the impact on the local environment. Under the negative impacts, you have probably a choice of a 4, something to do with the dangers of the pipeline in the peat, something to do with the fishing, the impact on fishing, peat extraction and the dumping of that, and the problems that rain in the area will cause, and lastly, the visual pollution. Those are probably your key 4, or your 4 key negative impacts. The 2 that I would personally go for are the fishing and the visual pollution, because when it comes to the second half, the responses of those in favour of the development, these are the 2 that they have mentioned the counter arguments to clearly. I mentioned that when we were looking at resource G. In resource G, last 2 paragraphs, you have the counter argument to the visual pollution, that the landscape, they're going to landscape the area, that they're going to use the trees already there, etc. And also the counter argument to the wastewater returning and possibly polluting Broadhaven Bay and therefore impacting on the fishing. So these are 2 good ones that you can use. You can keep the other ones for the decision if you are against the project. Subsection B2, the impact on the local economy. On the positive side, you have the great need for employment in the area and the high unemployment figures that they quote, bringing income to the increased income to the local area, providing job opportunities for a range of people, and overall both the short-term and the long-term economic benefits. On the negative side, you have the decline in tourism, that if there's pollution, it might spoil the scenery, it might stop people coming there, and you'll have that permanent removal of the unspoiled image. You also, of course, have the impact on the fishermen from the economic side, that their income might decrease. The question you need to ask, is there really a need, an economic need in this area? Will it benefit the local area if the gas is removed from the terminal and taken further afield? Some would argue that there's no economic benefit to the unemployment black spots in Mayo. So throughout Section B, you need to remain unbiased. You do not give away which side you've come down on at this point. That you must keep for the decision. So just state the facts or the arguments as they're put forward in the resources and keep your decision until the last section. Section C is the decision. And make sure you use the word decision there, not conclusion. It is decision. You need to use the exact headings as they are on the guidance sheet. The opening statement of the decision section must be to restate your role, to say who you are again and that you've looked at all the arguments and now you have made the following decision. In the decision, you're balancing the economic benefits on the one side against the potential environmental damage on the other. In the decision, you need to state some of the facts and figures again, which you will have quoted in subsection B1 or B2. But this time, you're using them to your advantage to justify your arguments. So let us say you're against the project in this case, and you have very strong environmental arguments. You could bring in some of the points you did not discuss in the subsection B1. And you could also mention that the opposition do have a kind of response to all of this, but that is only their claim, and only time will tell whether this is the case or not. So you may want to argue that this fisherman will suffer from the environmental pollution. This could reduce their income. And yes, the company has reassured us that they're going to treat the water, etc. But this is still very unsure. If, on the other hand, you're going to support the argument, then you could stress the economic side, and particularly the jobs in such an economic black spot. Yes, you could bring then into consideration what the opponents have said, the decrease in tourism, etc., as a result of spoiling of the landscape. However, you would have then your counter-arguments to that, to say that you're taking that into consideration and you're doing your utmost to try and conceal the gas terminal to prevent any kind of pollution of the bay, water, etc. In the decision too, you could go back to the national or the international context and ask the question, is there really a need for this? You could argue on the one hand that the Kinsale field of the southwest coast of Ireland is running out of fuel, and therefore there's very much a need, and come back to this point about reducing the need for imports. On the other hand, you might argue that we need to think of more sustainable methods, should develop other forms of energy which will not pollute the environment so much. And it could be that you bring in even things that are not necessarily directly mentioned in the text. You could ask the question, is the timing right? How much will it actually benefit the local economy? And is it worth the price to damaging permanently the environment? The quotes, some of the quotes might be useful here as a final point to your arguments. In your final last few sentences, in your concluding paragraph, just once again reiterate what it asks in the, or states in the guidance, that you have justified your decision on the basis of the greatest overall benefits for the local community and for the economy as a whole. You could then sign off by, if you have time, by saying that if you have any queries regarding this report, please contact me, and put your imaginary signature underneath. A couple of last points that the examiners are looking for. So remember, you need to avoid verbatim quoting and try and adopt a consistent style that is your own. You want to try and use the most, the widest range of resource material appropriate to the task, and especially the non-written stuff. You have to appreciate that bias might exist in the resource materials and show that in the way that you express yourself. Try to avoid undue repetition of the same material. But if you do have to include it, then put it in a fresh way. And back up the points that you're making with statistical information where it is provided, rather than just making vague statements whenever the details are readily available. If you can transform some of that statistical data into a slightly different format, this would also be very useful. So, for example, if it mentions that something has increased from this, from say 10% to 12%, you could transform that by saying that it has increased by 2%. The approach that's been used in this podcast for the specimen paper should also be readily usable for any decision-making paper that you are having to deal with. All the best for the exam.